Ramsey TV.
He's not at the edge of the bottom, Harold. He's not at the edge of the bottom of anything. Oh yeah, well, how do you know? How do you know, Walt? He might be at the edge of the bottom of himself. You never heard Harold before. Harold, you've never said anything on Martin's show before. Well, it's about time, because you're taking over too much. This is this is Martin Sender at the Fairfield Inn in Canton, Ohio. Technically, I guess it would be North Canton, Ohio. No, I'm not at the edge of the bottom of anything. I'm probably at the upper right quadrant of the middle. Yeah, from the upper right quadrant of the middle of the great state of Ohio. This is Martin Sender. I was born and raised here. I'm right down the road, actually, from the Comfort Inn. I'm up on a hill, you see, which is appropriate. It's like Zion up here. Corner of Everhard Whipple Roads, but right down the road here is the hotel, the Comfort Inn, that my wife and I stayed at in 1993, the same weekend I think it was the day after I left the Postal Service to start this work full time. It was around our anniversary. No, yes, it was our anniversary, so it was 2 weeks after I left the post office. We were staying right down here. I can see it from here. I didn't want to go there for a reason. But anyway, that's where we had the, what I would call, this is going to sound strange, the Noah vision. We had this Noah vision. I've told you about it. No, that's not a cable company. Noah vision? No. No, the Noah vision. Well, let me explain it to you after I have my Fairfield Inn coffee here. You know, we were embarking on this wild adventure, and we were watching television, and it was weird. All of a sudden, it appeared to us like all the people on the television were like, we could almost see behind their facial skin into their skulls. I mean, we couldn't literally see this, but there was just this, all the laughing people, all the entertainers, they all look empty to us, like they were going the way of death. And instantly I thought of Noah's Ark. And these people, though they appeared to be happy, it was like they were all silently screaming because of the world and the evils of the world. And they were all just barely hanging on. You know, as Henry David Thoreau says, men everywhere lead lives of quiet desperation. I believe this applies to women too. You ladies can let me know if I'm correct. Write me. So these people look quietly desperate. And then it was as though we knew that we were being taken into an ark. We were being separated from these people, and we were going into an ark of safety. And I believe that ark of safety was this work that I've been doing now for 27 years since that time. Right down the road here. 27 years later, I'm here, and nothing's changed. It's still an ark of safety. I'm going to talk about that today in the 31st Psalm. We're still in an ark of safety, ladies and gentlemen. God's still protecting us. The world is still going the way of death. It's like in the days of Noah, because the people were unaware. They were oblivious. They were eating and drinking, doing their own thing. And the flood took them unawares. Well, the flood that is the coming tribulation will take them unawares. So, it's sad, really. But there came a time, and this is what we were feeling. There came a time when that door of the ark closed. And you can't do anything about it at that point. It's closed. And those people are going down. Gluggity, glug, glug, glug. Sorry. See you at the Great White Throne. That's who we're dealing with on the earth today. People who are going the way of death, and see you at the Great White Throne. We'll take care of you. Ciao. Ciao for now. Yesterday, told you about a great verse from Psalm 31:8. You have set my feet on a wide place. I was reading that from the Concordant version of the Old Testament. You have made my feet stand in a wide place. I guess I wasn't reading it literally. Kind of misquoted it yesterday, but you have made my feet stand in a wide place. That is, we have leeway. We have breathing room. We have room to make mistakes. We have room to be ourselves. And it's a beautiful place God puts us. Well, this morning I'm reading this psalm in its entirety, and I realize this is a messianic psalm, that this is a Christ psalm. I'm going to tell you why, because look at verse 5. Into your hands I am committing my spirit. That's right, Psalm 31:5. Into your hands am I committing my spirit. So that is a look ahead to Christ. And it is also a look ahead to us. We are experiencing this. We share in the sufferings of Christ. I believe we're also experiencing this, that we're committing our spirit into his hands. Not that we're dying right now, not that we're letting out our last breath, but that our lives and the energy force of our lives that keeps us alive, we're committing all that to God, to his hand. Now, I want to read this psalm starting there. It's so good. Verse 5, into your hands am I committing my spirit. You have ransomed me, O Yahweh, El of faithfulness. That is God of faithfulness. El is a great word. It's God's title, one of his titles. It means a subjector, a placer, one who places things. And he is one of faithfulness. I know this is the Hebrew scriptures. This is David. This is Israel. But there are many transadministrational truths here. That is, truths that apply to the circumcision administration and to us as well. I love this, verse 6. I know my friend Marion Travis is going to love this verse too. I hate those keeping hypocritical vanities. Wild Boar, he's going to love this too. I hate those keeping hypocritical vanities. These Wild Boars always going after these people in the comment section. In fact, Wild Boar lives in Ohio. I might be talking to him this weekend. We'll see. Hypocritical vanities. Our Lord suffered this. I want you to think of these as the words of our Lord, because they are. Only one of them was publicly articulated, but I believe these were his thoughts and his prayers. I hate. Remember, hate. You're allowed to hate. Jacob, I love Esau. I hate. It just means you don't like him in the relative. I hate those people. That's fine. I never thought it was fine, because my parents used to tell me, don't hate people. Don't ever say you hate anybody. Okay, well, what should I say? Just say you strongly dislike them. Okay. I had a little dictionary. I looked it up, the definition of hate, and it said to strongly dislike. It's all semantics, baby. I hate those keeping hypocritical values. Oh, Jesus saved me. Jesus saved me. But, of course, I'd save myself by exercising my free will. That's a hypocritical vanity. Yet I, in Yahweh, I trust. We have to trust him, because we're surrounded by these hypocritical vanities, and we hate it. I shall exult and rejoice in your benignity. God is benign. He's good to us. He's good to the rest of the world. But they're going to need a wake-up call. You who have seen my humiliation. Christ was humiliated every single day he was on this planet. Kind of, sort of, so are we. You who have seen my humiliation, you know all about the distresses of my soul, and you have not locked me up into the hand of the enemy. You have not locked me up into the hand of the enemy. See, this is not only David saying this. I remind you, David is writing this. It's a Davidic psalm. These are also the words of Christ, and they're also our pleas, our prayers, our thoughts toward God. You have not locked me up into the hand of the enemy. You have made my feet stand in a wide place. There's the context from yesterday. So you've not locked me up into the hand of my enemy, where I would be trapped. Yesterday, I was giving you the enemy of sin, the enemy of guilt, the enemy of fear, the enemy of being careful and worried about everything. That's an enemy. These, David's probably talking about literal enemies, people who are after his life, people like Saul, who were after him. He said, "You've not locked me up into the hand of the enemy. Instead, you made my feet stand in a wide place." So even if David was being faced by his enemies, they were after him, he still felt like he was in a wide place. Even though we're in the midst of our sins, in the midst of our failures, we're still in a wide place. We're not captured. David wasn't captured. Yeah, he had to hide in a cave with his mighty men, but he wasn't captured. We're maybe having to hide in a cave every now and then from our enemies, from those spouting hypocritical vanities, but we are still in a wide place, spiritual wide place, even though it's not a physical wide place, maybe. When David might have written this in a cave, I don't know. "You've set my feet on a wide place." In a wide place, David, you're in a freaking cave. You call that a wide place? David said, "I'm talking about my spirit. I'm at ease, man. I can fit, look at the enemy in the eye and go, poof." Christ had to tell himself these things all the time. "Be gracious to me, O Yahweh, for distress has been mine." Yeah, that's what this life's all about, verse 9. "Be gracious to me, for distress has been mine. My eye was exhausted by vexation, my soul and my inner being, for my life was consumed with affliction, and my years with sighing." My years with sighing. You know all about the sigh. I perfected the sigh, but the sigh is good for you. Don't mistake the sigh. Don't mistake it for bitterness. You could mistake it for a groan. A groan and a sigh are very closely related. The way I like to do it is I like to go to the sigh from the groan. So I'll groan, it's like, and then some people do the sigh first. I don't understand these people. They go, and then I don't know. This doesn't work right. It's kind of like serving the chocolate cake before the meatloaf. I don't know how you do it and feel good about yourself. "My life was consumed with affliction, my years with sighing." This is Jesus Christ. He sighed all the time. This is good news for you and me. If it's good enough for him, it's good enough for us. What, you're not going to sigh? You're better than Jesus? You're telling me you're better than Jesus Christ? I don't think so. "My vigor stumbled with my humiliation." You ever feel like your vigor is gone? Yeah. "My vigor stumbled with my humiliation." These constant humiliations, they have an effect on your vigor. Make you groan and sigh. Oh, the groaning, by the way, comes from Romans 8. All creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. You ever see dogs when they sit down to sleep, they go, like I just, they're groaning for the manifestation. You thought they were tired? No. No, they're ticked off. They're tired of this bullshit. "And my bones, they were exhausted." Are you listening to this, people? Are your bones exhausted? It's a figure of speech. Your bones themselves aren't exhausted. But you're exhausted because your bones are all falling apart. They're turning into mush. Woo-hoo. Celebrate. "Because of all my foes, I became a reproach." Yeah, a reproach. They all made fun of me. "Even to my neighbors, exceedingly so." Okay, it really gets interesting here. I'm going to continue on this theme tomorrow about how the rest of the world sees us, how our neighbors see us, how our kids see us. And what's going to comfort you about this is that you're going to find out that, oh my gosh, I have the same experience Jesus had. I'm living the same experience as Jesus Christ when he was on earth, and King David when he was on earth. Jesus read these Psalms, right? And when he was on earth, he read these Psalms. And he knew that the Holy Spirit caused David to write this to comfort him. Jesus said, "Well, David went through this." I'm kidding you not. I think it's what he did. "Well, David went through this. I'm doing the exact same thing." In fact, it would have comforted him knowing that David wrote these things under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for Christ. so that Christ could articulate these things. You might look at it one way. You might say, well, David was foreseeing Christ expressing these things. But I think it's more like Christ is expressing the things that David wrote. You see what I mean? Christ is actually taking comfort. Christ on earth, our Lord, is taking comfort in the fact that King David went through this before he did. Even though the words were written kind of for him, or about, no, kind of about him, in a way they were written to him so that he could have fellowship with a fellow sufferer. Now we have fellowship with fellow sufferers, our Lord and David. The suffering doesn't come without mercy. No, that's right, because some hotels have coffee makers in the room. Thank you, God.